Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
The air.
What to watch.
On Point of View.
Well, that's how we bring in the weekend with Leroy and Mark with What to Watch. Hello, Leroy.
Hello.
Gosh, what an interesting lineup you've got there. What an interesting lineup. Let's start with the fun stuff. Pinocchio. Yeah. Pinocchio is happening at Joburg Theatre.
I went to Joburg Theatre this past Sunday to the opening of Pinocchio, Janice Anniman's Pinocchio. It is by far one of the best experiences
really?
I've had this year. Let me tell you something.
Really?
First things first, no one
can
is
she
sad.
Top her, can she top herself over and over again this?
I'm ready for Alice in Wonderland because I think that's the next one. What they do so fantastically
She's very good.
She gets it so well. So it's running from the 31st of October all the way to the 24th of December. So you have enough time to go and watch it. So they do these wonderful things. It's amazing for adults and children too. And that's why I love the panto. We got there. I was laughing myself. As you know, I'm not a dad. I was there with my with my husband. And we sat and we enjoyed it thoroughly. They make references to the Guptas. They make references to Donald Trump. Yes. But it's still appropriate enough for us to get little moments where the kids also get the little nuances. The more bluey, the ink. But the actors, the costume design person... and the choreographer needs special mention because I was transported. And this is from an adult who's a little skeptical.
Yeah, oh yes.
I sat there, Kabona Chepeto, Kili. I was immersed. And the story is rich in that what they do is they bring in other elements. There's these two sly cats, you know, a fox and a cat, who are trying to get Pinocchio to go the wrong way. And then Pinocchio also has this fairy godmother and this like conscience that's going with him. So it's educational, but in a wonderful way. And the experience generally. They look after their kids.
No, that's very true.
So interactive. There's a little moment where towards the end, where before the finale, they get us to do a little dance as well. Everyone was really, really immersed in it. It is I didn't think I would enjoy it this much.
That is so interesting. I mean, I keep thinking every year, is Janice going to drop the ball? I keep thinking.
I think she just finds a way of also, and in an interesting way, she also sneaks in something that you realize that prejudice is actually taught, not, for instance, Geppetto's love interest is Madame Spaghetti. And you can see it's a gentleman playing. It's a person in drag. But the kids don't care. They just love that this big character who's wearing these funny outfits. And it's wonderful to experience. And I think what I love about Janice Hanneman's pantos in particular is that they do a wonderful... They know how to gauge for both. You know, it's very hard to do... Both children and adults.
And very South African too, as well as being true to the story. They're very good with that.
Geppetto calls Pinocchio Pinocchio.
Yeah, no, she's very good with that.
And the set, my word, the set is mesmerizing. And I think this is, for me, how you're going to get through December.
Yeah, that's how you begin. That's how you start your December.
Over
with the Janice Hanneman. Okay, fantastic. I'd love to go there and I'll tell you what I thought.
Yes.
Okay. I don't know, ne. I'll go with my least favorite.
Yeah.
Every Jonas Christmas.
You know what? It's that time.
No. Leroy, Kehan, no. No, Leroy, no. No?
One for one. No. Win one, lose one. No. So let me tell you why.
I felt abused. I felt like, you know what? The Jonas Brothers must stop it, okay?
Yeah.
They must just stop it. And we understand that this is a commercial thing. But, I mean, come on. Come on now. But just go and create music and stop it.
But what other fantastical...
Get privilege into it. I just was just annoyed.
Are you a fan of Christmas
movies? I like them. No, I have no problem with Christmas movies. I just didn't... I just felt like the Jonas Brothers, this is privilege. Somebody gave them a budget and... They don't have anything to do right now and they must create money. I kind of felt like that with their reality show.
True, yeah.
After a while you forgive. This has gone too far.
So my cousin said something very interesting and I think you are of similar mind that in the way, now go with me.
Yeah.
Harry Potter, the reason why people went with the Harry Potter franchise was because Harry Potter grew up with you.
Yes.
As you got older, Harry Potter got older with
you. Get it.
In the same way, Libo Twilight, Libo Ying, Libo Narnia. The Jonas Brothers, the people who listen to the Jonas Brothers are not kids anymore.
Yes.
They are either in their late 20s, early 30s, even later on.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, this kind of movie doesn't land because the kids who are watching television right now are not watching A Jonas Christmas.
I have no problem with an artist evolving and doing amazing things and doing. I really, really have no problem. You and I spoke about Kim Kardashian.
Yes.
And I was rooting for her. You remember?
I really were.
I was like, girl, I want you to do well. That you didn't do well is a different story.
Madibonane,
you've got this. Keep on.
Poo, shanan.
So I have no problem with that. The Jonas Brothers, for me, I felt, and I get it. I get the fact that you must come up with stuff.
Yeah.
Create and give us content as an entity. I mean, they're an entire empire, right? But I just felt like they were riding on this name and they were lazy. And this didn't do justice to whatever legacy they're hoping.
Yeah.
I just felt like this is lazy. And I'm sorry. I just don't think we should be paying their bills just because they've got nothing to do.
Do you think the viewer who would have watched it is now way far ahead? They're more complicated,
They are far more sophisticated.
Yeah.
This is just lazy.
Yeah.
Lazy. As I said, I mean, their reality show was lazy, but there was something okay, you could accept.
Yeah.
You know, they're bubblegum. Okay?
I think what
this is just, no, well, this is just, I think what, offensive.
What the Kardashians did for us was to show us that you can make a lot out of nothing. And I think they were unable to do that a lot. I think they made nothing out of nothing.
Correct.
Because there was quite a bit of air.
Correct.
I was looking forward to it because I like the premise of
and
having...
And vanilla. That's maybe another problem. They're vanilla. They don't have color. They're boring, actually.
You can't tell the one from the other.
No.
You can't tell. Like, you know, if we use...
And they don't have character.
If you use the Kardashians as an example, you definitely know the difference between a Kourtney, a Kim. This one is interesting. I'm looking forward to it because I like the idea also of an adventure Christmas movie.
It must be done well.
And I think because I'm still of that age where I'm like, oh, I really miss that whole new Christmas movie.
Even a Christmas movie has to have a little bit of... No, Leroy.
Well, I am very sorry.
No,
that it's not going to make you Christmas.
No.
But it's
and it's
very,
too early.
I think also it was released quite early. It's on the 14th of November on Disney Plus. It's called A Very Jonas Christmas. And I think you're quite right. I think had they just said a Christmas movie, would you have been fine? If the title didn't involve the Jonas dynasty.
They are in it. And let me quantify it. Let me just get serious here. Whitney Houston did a Christmas film.
Yes.
Say what you want to say about Whitney Houston's acting.
Yeah.
There was something there.
Yes.
There was something. Yes, of course, Denzel was there to lift her up a little bit. But the point is that this is lazy.
I hear you.
This is just, and so what I'm saying is that I have no problem with an artist, you know, doing all sorts of interesting things with their career. I have no problem with that. But do not take me for a ride. And I think they've been lazy on this
you.
And they're just riding on their name. I don't think they did enough.
I hear you. I think what you're saying, what I'm agreeing with is they've got access to so much more resources to have made this better written.
Much better. They could have done more.
More depth, a bit more exciting. And it just came out as if, you know, you guys are buy because you're like a Kozlan Rat.
Yes, it was exactly that.
Yeah.
you're just going to buy it because we are the Jonas
No,
Brothers.
I hear you completely.
I've finished venting now. I'm done for the day.
I'm going to watch it and then I'm going to give you feedback.
Excellent. I cannot wait.
Yeah, but I'm going to watch it like 5 to Christmas when I'm in the spirit.
Yeah, yeah. No. I think you must watch it on Christmas Day so that you don't get so upset.
Trifle.
So it's all Melo.
I'm your orchid.
Yeah. Good fortune.
Keanu Reeves does this wonderful thing of anti-acting, right? Where Keanu Reeves for me has always been the guy who's got that very stoic, hope it's a Ridge Forrester. I can't get over the actor who used to play Ridge Forrester, who had so much Botox that his jaw hasn't moved in like the last 5 years of the Days of Our Lives, The Bold and Beautiful.
I thought it was bad.
But he doesn't. And Lemony Keanu, even got John Wick is the same thing. He's bamu, and then he moves his eyebrow when he's sad. That's when he's really sad. When the dog dies, he moves his eyebrow a little bit, and then he just fights. So in this movie, I enjoyed it because it's him being funny. And you know what? His dry personality. You know, when I was in high school, there was a guy who I won't mention name, but his surname was the B. And he was the kind of guy who would walk into a room and he could suck all the energy out of the room just by being in there. He had a very, very low energy kind of person. Keanu Reeves, for me, is the kind of actor. The scene could be hot. Jack, it could be hot. Burning. Po, 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 po. Yay. Tom Cruise is swinging from the chandelier. I can Nick Yan. Put what do? The energy dials down, the temperature drops, and you go,
ah. Stop it.
You'll be okay. Ah.
No, man, he had wings. He had wings, and he had tiny wings.
And they said to him, no, it's not the size of the wings.
Yes,
no,
it is. Yes.
So it's really funny in that it's very dry humor.
Very dry.
And the whole idea is that he is... a guardian angel who's not really given like...
Is it Gabriel?
He's Archangel Gabriel. And they say to him, Bambasaur, you've got this one thing, right? And he... there's this particular person who he's the angel for. And this guy is just struggling. He's not having a good time. And they say to him, listen, please go. And go and give this guy a taste of the good life. So he swaps him over with Seth Rogen's character. And... this guy, literally, the lesson he's meant to learn doesn't land, and he's having the time of his life.
Can I just say, though, that everybody else except for him, and I wasn't going to go there, their comedic timing is great, even with their dryness.
Yes.
So they are, the rest of the cast actually they came to work.
Yeah, they came to work.
Yeah, they do.
But Keanu seems like, but as I was watching it, when the wings comment came up about, his wings being small and him, and it mattering, I remember what you said about people who, when we're talking about the Thursday Murder Club,
yes,
where it was Helen Mirren with Pierce Brosnan, and we said that there's people who you realize who are now coming to it because they really enjoy the job.
Absolutely.
The paycheck is not really important.
No, yeah.
It's like being on set with friends, and I found that this was a moment for him to go, I see Matrix and I see John Wick. Let me just explore the side. And I enjoyed that part of it. Where he was a little ridiculous. It was a little bit dry.
Yeah.
It was a little bit anti-Keanu. Yeah. And I found that to be the best part of this. It's in theaters right now. It's called End Good Fortune.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, Train Dreams.
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. So this is from a novel. And this is one of those like Western American movies where you start seeing this man who lives his life. He's laying the railroad in the Pacific West. And it's a very quintessentially American story. But what I really enjoyed about it is it does the one thing that I think movies are lacking right now, where you're able to watch the story for story's sake, where you get told a story from the beginning to end. He is not the smartest guy in the room. He finds love of his life. He spends the better part of it, nurturing the daughter that they have. And then there's obviously a few things that happen in between, but you just see a man who's trying to achieve a goal with the help of his wife and the situation they're in. I found it thoroughly wholesome. I watch a lot of movies, and I always look for what entertain me.
But it was also respectfully done.
Oh yes,
hey, it was. There was something quite beautiful about how they've respected the craft in every sense, and I mean it in every sense. The cinematography, and that's obviously the people that cut the picture. Very, very respectfully done. These are people, craftsmen.
Yeah.
It was artistically done. They've respected these surroundings. So for filmmakers, one of the most difficult things to do is to make a film, create a set, or have a lot of people in one place and respect the space.
Yes.
Very difficult because, there are wires, there are lots of people. And so it's very difficult to keep the integrity of the area.
Yeah.
And I don't know how. I don't know how they did that. But that place looked like no one had touched it.
It looked pristine.
It looked
the
beautiful.
Light was great.
Yeah.
It also was one of those movies where you
and it's not possible not to touch a place like that when you've got such a big crew.
Yeah, when you bring in cranes and
the camera's got to move around. So every now and then when you look the opposite side, you're going to see that there were things happening. But they have managed to give such dignity to everything they did there.
But a part of the story also is about surroundings, right? Because they make a comment about how you're chopping down trees that are 5,000 years old, 500 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, that's why I really enjoyed it. I sat there. I didn't have the apprehension of waiting for the climax to come. Mm. We waiting for conflict in the first act.
The journey was beautiful.
Yeah, it was beautiful. But I also found that there was this moment where you sit back and you realize that I think when I watched it, I almost had to chastise myself and say we're spending too much time waiting for the hook, for the glitter and the glamour, for the big bang, and we're missing the story of a guy who was orphaned who gets to live with his wonderful wife. They're building this railroad that's going to be part of the American backbone, right, to industry, and he gets this young daughter who he loves raising, and they've got these moments with this wonderful lines coming through. And I think for me, just from coming back to story, in a wonderful serendipitous way, Train Dreams on Netflix. It's one of my favorite.
If you are a film student, this is the film to watch.
This should be used in in film.
This is the stuff that you must. This is a film you must. It must. You must go back to it over and over again.
Absolutely. I got a very close friend of mine who's a teacher at AFTA.
This is the film to watch.
And he said what he enjoyed was for the first time he felt he could watch and not see the technical glitches.
This is exactly
you can get back to story.
This is the
movie to get back to story. So it's called Train Dreams and it comes out tomorrow on Netflix.
The Hand That Rocks the Cradle.
Yeah, this is a remake of a movie. It's from Hulu. Hulu, of course, is a subsect of Disney Plus. This movie is interesting. Because it comes, so this was there was one of these the hand that rocks the cradle, and the full thing is a hand that rocks the cradle runs the world.
Okay.
And so this is a story about a woman who has a relationship with her, who brings a nanny into their lives. Yeah. And the nanny gets a bit off. Mm. The nanny becomes a little problematic. Mm. And we start seeing this very weird interaction between nanny and the family. And how, as the nanny, because they rock the cradle, they sort of run the household in the world. So there's always an issue when you've got two movies that have happened around the same story and hasn't been remade. It is a thriller. So it is a thriller. It is really amazingly thrilling. Mm-hmm. But it's one of the better made thrillers where I would suggest you do watch The Hand That Rocks the Cradle, the older one from the 90s, and then watch this one. There's a character there, an actress there called Rebecca, who plays the nanny. Polly, I think her name is. And she was spectacular, almost cult favorite. I mean, people who love this movie will tell you about how she played it back in the day. Here, it's a great remake of that, and you'll enjoy it more once you've watched the first one. It is on Hulu. It's been out since the 22nd of October.
Thank you, Leroy. See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.